We've got a lot of young people here this morning, and I'm glad to see young people in the house of the Lord. Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." If that wasn't enough, He told us to be like them. He said, except we be converted and become like little children, we'll no wise enter into heaven. There's a lot you can learn from children. You can learn about how innocent they are, how pure they are. They're not polluted in their mind like you and I are. Our lesson this morning is in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I would encourage you, even if you have a Sunday school book this morning, I would encourage you still to open up your Bible. One thing you need is we need the Bible. This is a day of darkness, deception, despair. And I'm glad the Bible is a lifeline. And our golden text is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 14. And it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." That's a tremendous verse. But why is Naaman in the Bible? Some might say. And we'll all be able to identify with Naaman one way or another in this Sunday school lesson. Our lesson introduction is Naaman wanted to be seen as a great man, and he was a great man. Elisha treated him as a leper. He, I guess, like you and I, was probably not proud of the fact that he was a leper. Probably went to great lengths to conceal. I'm going to guess, the Bible doesn't disclose this, but I'm going to guess that he probably tried to cover this up like you and I. And we also see in this lesson the simplicity of the gospel. A lot of people have tried to make a big ado about how to get saved. It goes on even today. Oh, believe you me, I wasn't born yesterday. I've been born again. I've been saved 24 years. Everybody's not got it figured out. And I'll tell you what, those that do have it figured out know it's simple. And the Bible said many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. And it's simple. First of all, realize you're lost. Second of all, realize there's only one that can save. And if you get to Jesus and just confess, "I'm lost, I want to get saved," you'll find out it's pretty simple. Ain't nothing you can do but beg like I did. But you'll find out, but He's ready, able, and willing to save. But we see in this the simplicity of the gospel. And like a heathen, which is what I wasn't a Jew, but like a heathen, he was seeking some ritual. And I know y'all aren't around, but you'd be surprised how many churches are caught up in do this, do that. But like a heathen, he was looking for some ritual, or like a man, something visible, something to put his confidence in, something he could hold. Y'all probably not been informed, but some places you got to have a certain thing. If you don't have it, you're not one of them. And I've got Jesus. Anthony was telling me some man told him that he couldn't call Jesus Lord. Hey, I call him Lord. The Bible said no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, I got born in the family of God. He's my Lord. I'm His son. I'm one of His sheep. But some look for some visible thing, some confidence, something they say, "Well, you know, I'm not like others, you know, I do this, I do that." But like God, He contradicts and gives him instead a promise and a command to obey. Now, the Lord did give us a command. Matter of fact, He said, "Except ye repent, you'll all likewise perish." He said, "Marvel not, I say unto you, must be born again." And he gives us an opportunity. And this is a good lesson. The lack between men's wishes and God's ways are not always harmonious. I thought I had my life all figured out. I thought, you know, one day, when I want to, I can get saved, but it wasn't up to me, it was up to God. And, in the gospel, we see the difference between God's ways and man's need. And, all through the Bible, it's laced with men that had a misunderstanding of their need. Luke 18, verse 22 talks about a rich young ruler run to Jesus, and boy, the Lord loved him. But yet the Lord told him in Luke 18, verse 22, he said, yet lackest thou one thing. And without that one thing, you ain't going. And the Bible said we're complete in Him. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. That's why the Bible said, whoso has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. It all centers upon Jesus. Our first verse here, 2 Kings 5:1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. And these next five words, but he was a leper. Those words right there, if you could take them out, boy, he'd made great accomplishments. But in the midst of all his accomplishments, there was one thing that he couldn't conquer. One thing that he couldn't get victory over. And Naaman had everything that one could desire. He had great position. He had great possessions. And he was next to the king. He was even in the king's favor. And this mighty man of valor, a good soldier, and had a tremendous success, yet there was one thing, and that was the fact he was a leper. See, he pictures a lost man. The Bible said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? And a lot of people have. I told y'all a while back about a man out there in I think it was in Nevada, that passed away, and he left behind $7 million in gold in the basement. And that man had a degree of success. But by all indications, I would be willing to say he died a lost man. Why you say that, Brother Eddie? You don't know. Well, he was dead a month before anybody found him. You know one thing about saved people? They have correspondence. I have y'all call me. I call y'all. You know, we pray one for another. We have correspondence. But you see, a lost man, he lives on an island. He thinks, you know, nobody goes through what I go through. Nobody knows what I feel and my troubles and all that. And here this man is, $7 million in solid gold. They'd take wheelbarrows and wheel it out of the house. Yet he had no correspondence, no visit from the pastor, no call from the pastor, no call from the brother, the sister, how you doing, things well. No, this man had his God. His God had an ale, and that ale made it gold. And one thing about that ale, if you've got a God of gold, it'll leave you lonely. It'll leave you longing. You'll want more. And it'll leave you lost if you're not careful. But Naaman here, he had this one problem. And the problem Naaman had was he was a leper. And all his accomplishments, he couldn't conquer this. And sooner or later, we all come to this word, but. Leprosy was one of the greatest diseases in the Bible. And it illustrates and represents sin. It brought exclusion. Because of leprosy, you were excluded. You had to stay outside the camp. You couldn't come where everybody else was. You had to be excluded. And because of leprosy, they were excluded from fellow men. And it was a hideous and revolting disease. And it strikingly represents sin, which mars and spoils even the fairest. I remember Brother Durbin Spears, he preached a message over at Bethel one time, and I got to be there to hear it. And he was weeping about this young girl that had grown up in the church at the age of 18. You know, when you get that adolescence, when you're not an adult, you're not a child, and you make a lot of foolish decisions, she found a man and run off with him. And nobody heard nothing from her for years. Durbin, down in Florida, saw someone living on the streets of Florida, and it was this young girl, and he went over, and he said, "Is it you?" I mean, there was so much a difference in her, he really couldn't hardly even recognize her. Boy, I'll tell you what, that message tore my heart out. He wept, and he said, "Is it you?" And she said, "Yes." He confirmed his love to her, and sorry to see the circumstances that man had left her. She had a baby. And, you know, it's kind of sad. That's the way sin is. It mars and spoils even the fairest. It does. And Naaman carried with him a disease which none but God could heal. That's why it pictures salvation. No one but God can save. And here's good news, though, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And this little girl, I thought about Peyton when I was studying this lesson. Just a little vessel to carry a great message. And even though she was in the capacity of a slave, it didn't make her bitter. And here she is attending upon the wife of Naaman. And yet she's got the blessing. And she shares the blessing. And she says to her mistress, verse 3, I'll come back to this verse. She said unto her mistress, "Would to God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." You know, Joseph made the statement in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He said, "You know, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good to save much people." Here this little girl is. You know, she could have withheld this information, but yet she was willing to give this word that if Naaman could just get to Elisha, he could get healed. And you know, sometimes we do get consumed in circumstances. I don't know about y'all. I'm not always flying so high. But I don't ever want to fly so low that I'm not carrying the good news that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. But you know, Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. Well, I tell you what, you show me where that man quit. I remember the last words he spoke. He said, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course." He said, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord will give me, not me only, but all those 11 looked to his appearing." He kept going for God. I don't know what your problems are, but maybe you're like this little maid. You think, you know, God owes you something. I'll tell you what this little girl did. She gave the gift of life to this leper. She had strong faith. I'm sure she probably could have said, "You know, I'm just a little girl. Ain't nothing I can do. I don't really have anything that I can even offer." But she had strong faith, and it was the right kind. Amen. There are people that have strong faith. The only problem is it's in the wrong kind. They're making twofold more trials of hell than themselves. I'm pretty jealous of the Jehovah's Witnesses because they cover more ground than I do. But when I turn one person to righteousness, I've done more than 100 million that they have turned to hell. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly this morning, but she had the right kind of faith. The Bible said they that turn many to righteousness will outshine the stars. And it says, he that winneth souls is wise. I've got not just faith, I've got the right kind of faith. The kind of faith that can help someone in a situation like Naaman. She had the right kind of faith. Her faith was in her Savior. And I'll tell you what, notice, this little girl, she wasn't ashamed. She wasn't ashamed of her Lord. What if she'd been like you and me and nurtured revenge and had pity party and thought, "I ain't telling him. Man, he took me from my family. I'm not with my mom and dad because of this man." She could have done that. But how beautiful her spirit. How Christ-like her spirit. This may not do you no good, but I'll tell you what, boy. I wish I could be like this little girl. And not be, I guess, so biased to think that that person or this person I don't need to waste my time with, but like this little girl, be willing to have a Christ-like spirit and just look for rather an opportunity. Verse 4, and this pictures the Holy Ghost. One went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that's of the land of Israel. This little maid, her words were credited. Not only were they credited, but they were credited so fully that an embassage from the king of Syria was sent to the king of Israel, and it was founded upon the words of this little girl. You know, you might think, well, it won't do no good. Hey, Brother James. You might think it won't do no good. I'll tell you what. There's been a lot of good done because some people were willing. This little girl was willing to share the good news that if Naaman could get to this prophet in Israel, that he could recover him of his leprosy. Verse 5 said, the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Don't tell me Naaman didn't want to be healed. The only problem is he didn't understand that it wasn't by silver or gold. The Bible mentions in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? You'd be surprised how many people have heaped up money. I know personally of men that have told doctors, doctor, I'm very wealthy, and I've got plenty. I'll give you thus and thus for every minute you can keep me alive. And even though that's a noble gesture, power of life and death is in God's hand. And that's why we've got to get to Him. The doctors mean well. They do. They do their best. But they're limited. God's not limited. In Acts 8, verse 16, there's a man named Simeon, and he offered money for the gift of the Holy Ghost of God, that whoever he laid hands on, that they've received the Holy Ghost. Listen, it's your money. It's worthless when it comes to the things of God. And here Naaman, he's never been cleansed. He don't know God. He's a heathen. And he takes off and he took 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. That's noble gestures, but that's not going to impress God. You got to come just like you are. God bless you, Sister Molly. Naaman was taking wealth, great wealth with him. And he was prepared to give it all to be recovered of this leprosy. And self-preservation. The devil mentioned that in Job chapter 2, verse 4. He said, yea, skin for skin. All that a man has will he give for his life. And how true it is, men will spend fortunes and travel continents in order to rid themselves of diseases. Yes, she was. Took her from her own home, yeah. Right. She had no bitterness. Matter of fact, she had what was needed and she was willing to give it. And she's in the Bible for a reason. Naaman's in the Bible for a reason. We're reading it today. But men have traveled continents in order to get cured of diseases. And I couldn't help but think about my uncle, Doyle Mathis. I've told y'all this before about me fasting and praying for him, and I fast and pray for a lot of people. But in Doyle's case, you can go on back there to that Sunday school class if you want to, sweetie. They're having class, you can go back there. But in Doyle's case, you know, God really moved me, and I don't know any other way to tell you this. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but God really moved me to go over there and see Doyle, and I did. I drove. I was riding my lawnmower mowing the yard, and God moved me to go over there and see him. And I got off my lawnmower and immediately went over to his house. And he's standing out in the front yard and he's talking to his neighbor. And I got out of the car and I'm not ever been real smart. And I walked up to him and I interrupted what they was talking. And I said, Doyle, I've been praying for you. And I really believe, Doyle, he's my uncle and I'm his nephew. I said, I really believe, Doyle, if you'll bring your situation to the Lord, he'll help you. And that neighbor, I don't even know who he was, but I do remember he said this. He said, Doyle, you need to listen to this young man. He's telling you the truth. But Doyle said something that got me and that man caught us off guard. And he said, no. He said, they've come out with a new pill. And I'm trusting in that new pill. And I was his pallbearer within 2 weeks of that day. So, you know, you got to be careful what you put your trust in. Doctors mean well. The medicine, it does its best. But there's one, I'll tell you what, buddy, that if you can get to him, you know, our last lesson, that Shulamite, she said, I've got to get to him. And she said, if I can get to him, she said, all will be well. And that monumental faith she manifested in a statement. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now, these two kings had misconceptions of this matter. The king of Syria thought, I need to send Naaman to the king of Israel and he'll take care of this. And then, you know, government, Brother Mevin put some books back there. Don't take it personal. Just do this, please. I've read the book. Don't take it personal. I'm not politically correct. I wish I did no more. I don't. But I will tell you this. Take time to read that little pamphlet back there. At least be properly informed. And I know they don't want no churches speak out politically. But the day and hour we're living in, you need to seek information. You need to search things out, whether so or not. Don't be duped by what you see on TV. Don't be duped by what your neighbor says. Seek it out. Them little books are not very big. Matter of fact, I've got one right here in my Bible here. The reason I've got it, I have read it. Get you one of these and read it. Matter of fact, my recommendation to you at the very back of this book, it's got the Declaration of Independence. That's what your country stands for right here. I would recommend you read the Declaration of Independence before you read the contents of this book so you'll know why someone went through trouble of printing this book, and Brother Mevin went through trouble of bringing these books over here, and I commend him highly. I do. One of the things the Lord says, take heed that you be not deceived. He said in the last days there'll be many deceivers, and they'll be walking out their own lust. They don't care about you. Call them up. Yeah, they do. Well, this letter, you know, this is the way politics work. That king didn't understand. He didn't know how to handle this matter, so he sends a letter to another king. And he said, I'm sending my servant Naaman. When he gets there, you recover him of his leprosy. Listen, it's not in man. It's not in man to do what this boy needs. Listen, I mean, well, y'all come here, Brother Eddie, pray for me. I will. I'll anoint you with oil. And I'll pray over you. I'll have others pray with you, but it's up to God. And I'll tell you what, that woman has said, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. You know what made her whole? One thing, she got to Jesus, but another thing, she believed. She believed if she could just touch a hem of his garment, she'd be made whole. So don't get God mixed up with government, politics, and all that. Well, here you see the political mistake here. This king sends a letter to the other king. I'm sending my servant Naaman. He's got leprosy. I want you to heal him. But the letter made no mention of Elisha. See, that's the way politics work. I'm not trying to be politically correct here. Neither did it make any mention of the Lord. It was just king writing to king. And hello. You know, Genesis chapter 30, Rachel told her husband Jacob, she said, give me children or else I'll die. Or really, she said, or else I die. In other words, she said, I've had it up to here. I want a child. You know what Jacob said, by the way, he said it in anger. Read your Bible there in Genesis chapter 30, verse 2. Jacob said in anger, am I in God's stead? You can't go to Walmart and get these. The Bible said children are a heritage from the Lord. Listen, we're just getting started in this lesson. And I wouldn't stop, and I hope you don't hold it against me, but I want to finish this lesson. But doctors today, they're just doctors. That's all they are. But anyway, these men, they didn't understand. They didn't mention the prophet Elisha. They didn't mention the Lord in this letter. In verse 7, it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter. That's why I say about that book back there, read it before you have an opinion about it, at least read it. And then give me your opinion. Listen, I'm not thin-skinned. I don't care if you come spit in my face. I still love you. I'm not thin-skinned. I really be honest with you. I used to be registered this. I've registered something else. Now I don't even know if I'm even registered at all. I am going to vote, I'll tell you that. But anyway, the king, when he read that letter, he rent his clothes and he said, am I God to kill and make alive? This man doeth sin unto me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. You'd be surprised how many wars have been fought because of misunderstanding. And this one right here is a great misunderstanding. But he ascribed evil motives when really there wasn't none. It was just ignorance. And Paul mentioned there about Mars Hill there. He said, you've got an altar here to the unknown God whom you ignorantly worship. He said, him declare I unto you. They knew they needed to worship. Why do people worship? Oh, there's not no God. Hey, we evolved. Why do we worship? Tell me why we acknowledge another power. Tell me why we go to church. Tell me why we sing heavenly songs. You tell me. I'll tell you why. The Bible said it's written in your heart. It's written so good and so deep that you can't take it out. Even the heathens worship something. They may through ignorance worship the wrong thing, but they know they need to worship. The sad thing is we know what to worship and don't worship. That's what's really bad. I'd rather go to hell from a heathenistic country than go to hell from America. It's got gospel saturated, got a church on every corner. You can find a church somewhere that'll tell you the good news that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. God bless you, Sister Molly. I tell you what, boy. Amen. But he ascribed evil to this letter and an evil motive, and there wasn't none, just ignorance. And he described malignant intentions when there was nothing but good nature purposed in this letter. He just didn't know what to do. And there is such an amount of falsehood and dishonesty today in society. And many times one person takes advantage of another person. And you'd be surprised who they blame for it. But in this case right here, all they needed to do was just get this man to God. Well, I want to get right on because we really need to be quick here. Verse 8, it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. The king's act was one of public. I mean, he publicly showed, his remorse in this letter. His complaint was public. His rending his clothes was public. He wanted everyone to know how he saw this thing. And that rumor went all through the town. But Elisha's message was a private message. And Elisha's message was, let him now come to me. The commissioned minister of God, who alone could help this man, said, send him my way, I'll help him. And Elisha privately communed with the king. And, it's amazing. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41. Those people around the cross when the Lord was crucified, they said, come down from the cross and we will believe. And, they didn't understand what he was doing. They didn't understand why he had to die. They didn't understand. Even his own disciples, even though he had invested in them, didn't understand this hour when he was being crucified. But can you imagine the dilemma that the Bible mentioned there, such contradiction of sinners against himself? Can you imagine him wanting him to believe in him so much that maybe he even considered coming down, but had he came down, there'd been no salvation. And he was in a a terrible dilemma there. But God has not left Himself without witness. And in spite of the apostasy of the king and the people, here this man of God says, send him to me. Good Lord, y'all bear with me, please. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. The great man has no thought at all of descending. He's a man of rank, a man of wealth, whom Elisha should feel honored that he even came. But Elisha doesn't come out. Naaman must have thought that gold and that silver and all these horses and chariots and his rank could avail something. But here, nothing, no avail. And to be saved, let me say this morning, the highest must become humble. Pride must be expelled. You know, I'm sure he said, I'm here, do your wonders. I'm waiting out here. You know, the Bible mentioned Romans chapter 8, verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And our carnal mind, for some reason or other, we try to figure everything out. But God, you can't figure out. You just got to do what He says. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Elisha here, he's humbling him. And instead of coming in himself, he sent a messenger to Naaman. And the reason for that was to humble him. He's full of pride. And in the message, he directed him to go to Jordan and wash 7 times. And the means of cure was simplicity. Nothing could be simpler than to go to Jordan, dip 7 times. But, you know, to Naaman, he had a problem with this. And God's way of salvation is characteristically simple. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 5 through 9, the people are complaining about God. They're complaining to Moses. And the Bible said that the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and it bit them, and those that were bit, they died, and they come to Moses and cried and said, we've sinned. Boy, I wish Brother Melvin this morning somebody come to me and cry and say, Brother Eddie, I've sinned. I know what to do to help them. Sad thing is, I can't get people to realize that they're sinners. I can't get people to admit that they need to be forgiven, need to be saved. But they come crying, and Moses went to God, and God told him something simple. He said, make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and anybody that's bitten, if they'll just look to that pole, they'll live. Look and live. How simple. Look and live. I'm sure a lot of them said, I ain't looking. And that's too simple. I want something more. I want to be able to do more than that. But the Bible talks about as many as looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, all the finisher of our faith, as many as look to Him, He's able to save. The simplicity. Look and live. How simple. God's made it simple. He done all the hard work. Look and live. The Bible mentioned John 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said, John 12, 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Look and live. It's simple. But the simplicity of it, it was just too simple for Naaman. You know, the Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved, Acts 16:31. That was just too simple. But in its simplicity, it fitted this proud heart of Naaman. It didn't strike him as being sufficient, and yet that's all he needed to do. And many, even today, are offended by the simplicity of the gospel. And they mock. They mock Brother Anthony. They mock me. They mock you. And simply to believe in the crucified risen Savior, their intellectual superiority, their social greatness, their pride, bow themselves at the foot of the cross. How absurd. How absurd someone should ask them to do something like that. There's got to be more. But Naaman, like most, was mad. But Naaman was wroth, went away and said, behold, I thought he'd surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He was angry. His expectations were disappointed. He thought the prophet would have shown him more respect. The simple command was to wash in Jordan. The ceremony that he had expected You know, a lot of men, the Bible mentioned about they wanted to see others give their alms. They come in, they sound the trumpet. Hey, look what I put in. Look at all I put in. One woman come in, gave two mites, Sister Gail. That's two mites in that little bag there. They're about the size of your little fingernail. One woman came in and gave two mites, and the Lord took note of it, and He said she's gave more than y'all, and they said He's crazy. But I'll tell you what, buddy, they gave out of their abundance, and she gave all that she had. Amen. But he's mad. This simple command, it messed up his ceremony. He felt like there ought to be some kind of, big hoodoo here, you know. And men have their preconceived ideas about salvation, about the methods of being saved. And through that, they leave Jesus out and they reject Christianity because it's unceremonial to them, and it doesn't accord with their ideas. And they reject the gospel because it's not in accord with the spirit of the age. You know, it's outdated. That worked in the old days, but you know, we got to come up with something new. That's one thing I think we've done to hurt ourselves, come up with new. We'd be better off stay with the old. Amen. The Bible said, seek out the old paths, walk therein. But in verse 12, he says, are not Abana and Parpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And he made some pretty good comparisons there. Only problem is it wasn't what God said. But he was required to go to Jordan, this local stream. And his wounded pride caused him to rebel at this simple provision. And nothing that's of our own reflects anything to ourselves. When it comes to be saved, the Bible says, where is boasting then? Romans 3:27. It says it's excluded. And the reason for that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But here He is, have we not rivers in Damascus? You know, that's going to be embarrassing to me to go down there to this river Jordan. I could go, you know, and it'd be a whole lot simpler. It'd be more convenient me go to the rivers in Damascus. But Naaman, with his mind all made up as to how he's going to be healed, went away in anger and disgust at this. And there are many Naamans today at this prophet's proclamation. We got two more verses here. And his servants came near and spake unto him. I'm glad, praise God, God doesn't give up. Even in our anger, I'm glad He still comes to us. I'm glad the Word of God came to Jonah the second time. He said, I do well to be angry. But here He is. My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when He saith to thee, wash and be clean? His servants, looking through a better, calmer set of eyes, with less personal, saw this situation much better than him. And they put it in good terms. And they said, my father, which gave honor to him, if this prophet had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? And let me say this. You know, the Lord didn't ask you to do some great thing. He just asked you to do one thing. That's just come as you are. Call upon Him, rich mercy, call upon Him. But He said, was there not a cure you wanted? Why not this simple? Why not this better? Why quarrel with the conditions of this cure? Because they're so simple. And this same reasoning is applied even today to the gospel. And if men really want to be saved, why quarrel with this simplicity? The simpler the better. How much more wash and be clean? Verse 14. Then went he down. That's where it's all at. See, every Sunday, come on down. Won't you come? Won't you come? Listen, I'll pray with you. Come on. Hey, he went down. He said, I beg you every Sunday, the Lord deals with you every Sunday, pleads with you. He's not always going to do that, but He does. Well, Naaman finally went down. He said, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Well, let me see here. Chelsea, stick your hand out there, honey. Stick your hand out there. Well, you ain't got no age spots or nothing. Yeah. See, that's what he came like that. He had flesh like a little child. No blemishes. No scars. Man, he had that flesh that he wanted all along. And the problem is, he just had to swallow a little bit of pride to get it. The Lord wanted him to have it. And it wasn't Jordan. It was the obedience. He obeyed what was told. And you know what the Bible said? Neither is there salvation any other. Acts 4:12. You won't get what you want nowhere but Jesus. But he went down, bathed those 7 times, and the marvel of marvels. Don't miss this. The marvel of marvels. Here's a man, but he was a leper. His flesh was restored and he was clean. The reward of his obedience, the healing, is just the same thing as getting saved. He had to look to the right one. He couldn't look to the King of Israel. The merit of his obedience is portrayed in this healing. And let me say, even today, the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, that some wrestle the Scriptures to their own destruction. Listen, it's simple. I can't put it out of your reach. I'm supposed to put it down there where that little old girl right there, little Chelsea, I'm supposed to put it down there where even little Chelsea can understand it. Because it's simple. You just got to see yourself in God's mirror, lost and undone. You got to realize He's got the care. You got to realize He wants to cure you. He wants to save you. And all you got to do is just get to Him with the faith of a little child and say, Lord, I want that, what that preacher said. I want to be cleansed. I want to be healed. I want to be saved. That's pictured here in Naaman. And boy, what a good Sunday school lesson for all of us. This lesson about Naaman. All right. Thank you for bearing with me through that. I think we went about 15 minutes over. Good to have Brother James with us here this morning. I'd like to ask him if he would please to come and help us in our Sunday school